Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Okay, let's do some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. That's obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. To reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Here's the thing. Information is power. Information is money. Literally, the currency of today's world of entrepreneurship is information. And if you could bring all of the information about your business into one dashboard, this is incredibly valuable. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of the truth about your business. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. This is so valuable. You just hit a button and you can see all the information about your business instead of having to like call five different departments and get all these emails and put it all together and make sense of it. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math, see how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/James. netsuite.com/James. netsuite.com/James.
This isn't your average business podcast, and he's not your average host. This is the James Altucher Show.
So the thing with legacy, this is interesting, is that some people really, like let's say Elon Musk, like his whole point of saving humanity and this and that, or even Steve Jobs creating iPhone, I'm sure because he want to leave some sort of legacy. People look at Steve Jobs, people will be like, okay, the guy's the Apple guy that created iPhones, iPad, Mac, right? Elon Musk, like, okay, Tesla, PayPal. It's like normal people like me. If I don't have all those ambitions, will I be able to leave a legacy? And should I care about leaving a legacy?
Here's the thing. Caring about your legacy is the exact opposite of being a happy person.
How so?
Because if, let's say, oh, I really want a legacy of being the most inspirational writer and podcaster ever. Or if I'm Elon Musk, I really want a legacy of like, humans are going to be a multi-planetary species because of me. That's going to be my legacy. Then you're going to work really, really hard for something that may or may not happen. And then you're dead. And you're not going to think about it. You're going to be dead. You're alive for, let's say, 80 years. And then you're going to be dead for the next trillion years after that. Okay? So, and then you only care about legacy, let's say, for 30 of your 80 years. If you live to 80. So 30 years out of trillions of years. Do you think your legacy is like really that important?
What if someone built a statue for your legacy, right? Like then your legacy, then you
but
will
who,
be...
Who am I? Why do I care if like after I'm dead? Let's say we don't know if there's an afterlife or not, but either way, what do I care after I'm dead? I only care about things when I'm alive.
Right.
The only thing that would make me care about legacy, like your true biological legacy is the DNA that you spread, your DNA. And so I do care about my children. So for instance, and the only thing I think about there is I don't want them to think I'm some sort of like hero in any way, because that's not true. Nobody's really, if when you really know the heart of everybody, like nobody's a hero. But I want my kids to not be sad if I die. So for instance, if I were to kill myself, my kids would be really, really sad. And right. It would maybe ruin their life. Like they would be affected by that forever. Maybe, you know, oftentimes when you kill yourself, people who know you or people who are related to you, they kill themselves. There's like copycat suicides. Like I have 5,000 Facebook friends, and I would say once a month or once every 2 months, I'm just trying to be as accurate as possible, one of my Facebook friends kills themselves.
Right.
And probably because I'm friends with a lot of comedians. And yeah. that team said, so that's the only thing I care about with legacy. Otherwise, why would I want to stress myself out by not only caring about my day-to-day life, but also caring about what people think of me even after I'm not alive? Like, it's already a burden trying not to care what people think of me when I'm alive. If I now have to think about what people think about me when I'm not alive, that is a drag. Legacy is you just care about what people think about you right. after you die. Now, you might say, oh, I want to make the world a better place. That's my legacy. Well, you know what? No matter how hard you try, you're not going to make that much of a difference on the world. If there was no Gandhi, would India be free now? Like India be free from British rule? The answer is probably yes.
Right?
Since the United Kingdom has almost no colonies at this point. So India, you know, all of their colonies would sooner or later be free with or without Gandhi. Second off, I do think Gandhi was a great man, and what he really taught was how to have peaceful resistance. But two things. One is many, many people in India would claim that Gandhi held things back, like technology and so, like, because Gandhi existed.
How so?
Well, the United Kingdom was more technologically sophisticated. And just like the US was always focused on industrial revolution and technological revolution and so on. And when India was no longer in the grips of the United Kingdom, and I'm not saying the United Kingdom should be a colonizer or anybody should be, but I'm just saying probably India would have moved into the first world faster if the United Kingdom, if they were more associated with a first world country. And instead, after, the UK left, and I'm not saying one thing good or bad about the UK being there one way or the other, but India was torn by religious strife. You know, Pakistan split off, Bangladesh split off. There was just lots of horrific, you know, killings and wars and battles relating to religious fighting. Technology didn't advance as quickly as it could be. By the way, I'm not saying this. Other people from India would say this to me. I've been to India many times. Other people from India would say this to me, that it's not black and white, that it was the most amazing thing that Gandhi freed India. I would say the greatest thing Gandhi did was to show that peaceful resistance was possible. And look, I have a chapter about Gandhi in my book, Choose Yourself. I admire him. But also there's another side, which is on the personal side. There's claims that he, you know, would always sleep in the same bed, nude with his niece or whatever. I don't know all these stories. I don't follow them, but it's like what I was saying before. Like everybody, if you know everybody's thoughts, 100% of their thoughts, nobody is a hero. But because I said all this, I will say my one favorite story about Gandhi is this one woman was very concerned about the health of her child. She traveled across the country for 2 weeks walking to visit Gandhi. And because it was far away. And she finally sees Gandhi and says, Gandhi, can you tell my son to please stop eating sugar? And Gandhi says, okay, come back in 2 weeks. And so she has to go home. And then she comes back and 2 weeks later, and Gandhi says to her son, you know, kid, don't eat any sugar. And the woman's like, what the heck? Like, how come you just telling me that? How come you sent me home for 2 weeks? And Gandhi said, well, because first, I had to stop eating sugar. And I admire that because he, unlike a lot of people, like you go to this whole self-help industry and so many people write self-help books that they don't follow their advice themselves. And I always know whenever I'm always very honest and upfront what I do and what I don't do. So I never give advice. I just say, this is what happened to me. You know, pay attention to it or not. And I'm usually, I try to be as thoughtful as possible about the things that have happened to me so I can, and I love writing, so I could tell stories about what happened to me. And then you could choose whether, like if I say, don't buy a home, I'll write stories about my bad experiences buying a home. And then I'll look up, you know, facts and statistics about the returns on investments on buying a home. So I will do the research, but I also will share what I'm doing. So right now, for instance, I can't say don't buy a home. I bought a home. So I'm living in a home that I own. I bought a home 3 times. And right. So far, 2 out of 3 times turned out miserable. Maybe this third time will turn out miserable. I don't know.
You know what they say, right? Like 3rd time's the charm.
3rd time's the charm.
But let me ask you this. Wouldn't a legacy sort of provide motivation? So let's say I'm like, I want to leave a motivation. I want to leave a legacy, like for my children, for my grandchildren. I want my grandchildren to know me as...
Well, okay, let me ask you, what would you want your legacy to be? What do you want to be known for after you die?
A great Asian? I'm just joking.
Jay Yao was the greatest Asian ever, and that's his legacy.
I think mine would be like the person that sort of sort of make impact in the audio tech industry.
Okay, why?
Because I just love audio tech that much. I want to...
Why not care about what you're doing today on it as opposed to what people are going to think about you 100 years from now?
Right. But because of the legacy, right? Because of the legacy 30 years from now that people will think about, will hopefully know me as, that sort of motivate me to do something about audio tech right now.
Okay, so it's not like you really care about your legacy. It's like if you convince yourself to care about your legacy, then that will help you move forward today.
Right.
And if you accomplish something today on audio tech, maybe you'll feel a little bit more contentment with your life. I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about contentment or well-being. Yeah. So well-being is a function of doing good things and getting along with your community, having a sense of freedom, and I don't know, probably health. So maybe you could say to yourself that if you advance things in audio tech, A, you might make some money, so that helps your sense of freedom, and it's good for your community. So it gives you this feeling of well-being, as opposed to just pure happiness.
Right.
Which is I think there's no real definition of happiness. We don't really know what that means.
Right.
We all know happiness is fleeting, but we don't really know what happiness is. I have to say, Airbnb has changed my life. I just love staying in Airbnbs. Like in about a month, I'm going to Cocoa Beach, which is right next to Cape Canaveral. I'm going to watch some rocket launches. I'm going to, of course, be staying in a very nice Airbnb on the beach. And it's just such a great experience. Like the whole world is available to us now because of Airbnb. But whenever I'm at an Airbnb, I always realize, you know, the home that I left to come to this Airbnb, I could be making money on that right now by hosting and being an Airbnb myself. So, and I've known people, I had a friend who basically, you know, made a living from turning his home into an Airbnb. So if you have a home, but you're not always at home, you do have an Airbnb there. And it can easily fit into your lifestyle, and it's a great way to earn some money. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. The famous Abraham Lincoln quote says, good things come to those who wait. I wonder, did he really say that? Jay, did he really say that? Can you look that up? Regardless of who said it, that's only part of the quote. The full quote is, good things come to those who wait, but only the things left by those who hustle. Well, if you're a business owner and want the best people on your team, the same applies. And listen, I've interviewed 1,500 people now and a lot of entrepreneurs. I can safely say The one thing consistent among all entrepreneurs and CEOs, the successful ones, is that it's all about the people you surround yourself. If you hire well, you're going to have a great business. And, you know, thankfully, ZipRecruiter puts the hustle in your hiring so you find qualified candidates fast. This is so important, and I want you to try it. You could try it as a potential employer or employee. You could try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter's smart technology finds top talent for your roles right away. Immediately after you post your job, if you're hiring, ZipRecruiter's matching technology starts showing you qualified people for it. And I will tell you that I signed up on ZipRecruiter as a potential employee. You know, I just wanted to see how it works. And right away, it started matching me with really amazing potential employers. So give it a try at ZipRecruiter.com/James. Let ZipRecruiter give you the hiring hustle you need. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/James to try it for free. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/James. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
I think you do have a point in legacy in the sense that I was thinking just now is that what happened after I hit my legacy? What if I did change something on my legacy, and then what's next, and will I be happy?
Jay, think about all of the many athletes. So athletics is an interesting endeavor because you peak while you're still young and alive.
Right.
So we've had on many, many, I don't want to say many, we've had on several Olympic gold and silver medalists, and we've had on other heroes of their sports, whether it's basketball, baseball, other sports.
Yeah, you even
race car driving, Danica Patrick. But often they have to deal with depression
right
after they, win, become the greatest female car racer in the world, become the silver medalist ice skater in the Olympics, win the gold medal in Olympics. All these people were depressed afterwards. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with depression. Like, I get depressed. We all get depressed to some extent, sometimes clinical depression, sometimes situational depression. But it seems like when you have a great goal, yes, the pursuit of excellence is a worthy endeavor. So, anytime you have any kind of quest or pursuit, if the pursuit is interesting enough, if the quest is interesting enough, then the journey, and I'm not saying the journey is more important than the goal, I don't believe that, but the journey towards excellence is a worthwhile endeavor. Like, you have to improve yourself. You can't just be a great race car driver. You have to be really healthy. You have to have a lot of emotional health, like good relationships, good people supporting you that are around you. You have to be physically healthy, of course, and be in great shape. You have to be psychologically healthy, like to be able to handle loss, and to be able to handle frustration along the way. And in order to have all these things, you have to improve yourself in a variety of different levels, physical, emotional, creative, even spiritual, in order to be the best at your sport. In most cases, some people are naturally gifted and can get away with it. So the pursuit of being the greatest at audio tech is a worthwhile endeavor because it gives you internal satisfaction each day. But I would also argue it doesn't matter. Like, you can also find internal satisfaction not doing that, but just making friends in your community, feeling free regardless of what your job or money situation is, and having good health. Like, that can also make you be a lot happier than people who have a big goal and journey.
Right. You talked to, what is his name? Robert something about happiness. Didn't he say like all this thing as well?
I don't know. Robert who?
Robert Wardinger or whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah. He wrote about happiness.
Yeah. He did mention like finding a bigger meaning in life, like in terms of society or community, helping society.
I would argue you should endeavor to be happy almost in this spiritual way where the lack of, the more expectations you have on your life, the less opportunity, the higher the probability is that there are going to be periods where you're very, very unhappy.
How so?
Let's say you expect that you're only going to get married to a person who is, a beauty contest winner. So you constantly are asking out beauty contest winners, and let's say most say no, but some say yes, and then you go out with them and you realize, oh, this is, I hate this person's personality. So, you know, so a good many years of your life might be spent wasted only asking out, you know, supermodels to go on dates, and then many more years might be wasted dating supermodels, and then you don't like any of them.
Right.
So that's because you had expectations. So expectations are always going to, when you have an expectation, another way of saying expectation is you're putting conditions on your happiness. It's like you're writing a contract with life. Like, I'm only going to be happy if supermodels date me. So better to have no conditions and no expectations, no conditions on life. Let life do life and let you do you and just roll with the punches. Like, imagine life is this big ocean that you're surfing. You can't control the wave. You just get on your surfboard and you try to surf as best you can. And if you surf well, you know, with no expectations on the ocean, that's you can't control anyway, then you'll probably be happier.
I felt like there's a truth in that. It's that every time I expect something, it's always come out bad.
If you expect like a 50% financial raise from me tomorrow, you're going to be extremely unhappy. Your expectations are not going to be met, particularly if it's for tomorrow. Right. But like, you know, there's a formula for this. Like, happiness is reality divided by expectations. So the more expectations you have, there's reality. Like, let's say you expect to be 90 pounds, but you're actually 500 pounds. Okay. So 90 over 500 is a very small number. Whereas if reality is you're 200 pounds and you only expected to be 200 pounds anyway, I think I got it reverse. But in any case, you know what I mean? The older I get, the worse at math I get.
But okay. I mean, I'm Asian, but I still bad at math anyway.
You're stunning at math.
Compared
to your colleagues in Malaysia, is that real? Is that like math Asia? Like, are Malaysians good at math?
No, I mean, technically we are, but I felt like when I was 15 years old, or like when I was 12 years old, I can do math in my brain very quickly. Like, 1 times 100, I was like 100, or 2 times 100, 200. But now, even the 1
times
0.
That was really good right there.
Yeah. Even 1 times 0, I have to be like, pull out my calculator.
Well, how old are you? You're like 28?
35.
35?
Jesus, yeah, I'm old.
When did you become 35? You were 28 yesterday.
Six years after I worked with you.
So. The peak age for a mathematician is 25 years old, meaning that's usually the age when they do their most amazing work that they win prizes for and so on.
Yeah.
And so math is one of those things. Some professions, we've talked about this on the podcast, some professions peak at a much older age and some professions peak at a younger age. So you lose math ability after you reach a certain age.
Okay, I want to go back to the expectation a little bit. You know, you said like no expectation is better, but I felt like you have to have some minimum low bar expectation so you can push yourself a little bit.
Why do you need to push yourself?
I mean, like, to better myself, to improve myself.
First off, why can't you just improve yourself health just because you know that life will be better if you're healthier than if you're not healthier?
You know what? I think because I value validations by other people than from myself.
Again, maybe that's an issue. Like, maybe you should want to be healthy just for the sake of being healthy.
Right.
So like if you're sick all the time, you're not going to be as happy as if you're healthy all the time.
You know, I think because of my upbringing, my whole life was to grow up pleasing other people. So
okay,
like,
well,
I want to
maybe
be healthy.
Maybe that's a problem also.
I think.
Like, how do you know
That's
not just a bad habit? Like, I have a bad habit of eating donuts all the time because I grew up eating donuts. Well, I shouldn't just stick with that because I did that when I was younger. I should try to improve myself so I could be healthier.
Yeah, I think I should do that, because every time I'm like, I want to be healthy, it's because I just broke up and then I will go to gym. It's like, okay, so I can meet better girls or whatever after.
Okay, all right. So yeah, you have some physical needs and they could be easier met if you're a healthy person.
Yeah.
So like, you know, for instance, somebody I'm very close to was depressed for a long time. And he started working out and lifting weights and doing cardio every day in the gym. And through that time, it took about 6 months, or actually, no, in just, I remember just 2 months later, first off, I could notice he was physically bigger because of the weightlifting. And he was also not, he wasn't saying to me that he was depressed. He was like in, you know, working on his physical health had helped his mental health. So again, like you could want to be healthy just for health's sake. You don't need to want to have a legacy of being healthy,
yeah,
or a legacy of, you know, being a great scientist. So he needed to be healthy to be a great scientist.
Right.
Now, admittedly, I'm not saying you shouldn't try to be a great scientist. Like I think, like I like the, what I call the absurdist philosophy. So you ask yourself, does life have meaning? And so nihilists say life has no meaning and you shouldn't care about anything because nothing has meaning and just forget it and do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. You know, and existentialists say life has no meaning and, you know, you can go for meaning if you want to, but be aware that life has no meaning. And absurdists is very similar. Absurdists are very similar to existentialists, but they say it's a joke to even think life has a meaning. It's absurd. Like you're just fooling yourself if you think life has meaning, but you might as well have some meaning just for the fun of it. Like do, you know, stay within the boundaries of, you know, the law and ethics, you know, because that will allow you to do more things in life. And just for the heck of it, do things that are meaningful just because you can, even right, though you're aware that they're absurd. So an example might be Admiral Byrd was going on to Antarctica. It was the first expedition to Antarctica. And he had like 30 people with him. They were all on a boat to Antarctica. Well, their boat got stuck in frozen water and they were stuck and they were in the middle of nowhere. No one was coming to save them. So I think his name's Robert Byrd. I forget his name. Anyway, he and another guy leave the crew of 30 and go in search of someone who could save them. Like maybe there would be an island, like a research facility or something where, you know, hundreds of miles away and where they can get saved. And the other people would have to stay with their frozen boat just because that's where all the food was, all the supplies were. And they knew that the chances were Admiral Byrd was not going to come back and find them. They knew it. But what they did was they invented games, they told jokes, they made the most of it that they can, even though they knew their lives were probably over and that there was no point in doing anything. They still did things to amuse themselves and to be happy and so on, because why not?
Right.
Why choose to be in despair when you could also choose to be happy? This is an example. And by the way, they were saved and rescued, but this is an example of like absurdism. It was absurd of them to even think they were going to be rescued. It was absurd of them to try to find meaning every day in their lives, but they did. Because even though they knew it was meaningless, they found meaning in their lives every single day. And so other than like, hey, we should try to be happy just because, we should try to have fun. Like, I like this idea of not goals or legacy, but we've spoken about this before, this idea of find yourself a quest. Like it could be a small quest, something that you could accomplish in a day. Like one time I said to myself, I'm going to try to find some way to play every day. So I would work during the day, but maybe in the evening I would go, this was New York City, so there's always something to do. I would go to an archery range, or I would go to the gym and play basketball, or I would play tennis, or I would go to a backgammon club and play backgammon or chess or go or poker or whatever. So I kind of said, what would it be like to play every day? And why did I do that? For legacy? No. I did that because I love to play games and I never even wrote about this. I never really spoke about it. I only did it for a couple of weeks actually because it was hard to find a new thing every day. But it was fun. That was my quest. Every day I had a little quest like, what will I play today?
So do you have a quest right now other than just chess? Like do you have quest?
No, I have a bigger quest, which is, oh, I want to achieve my, you know, same level of ability that I had in the 1990s. Hmm. But with that is many mini quests. And I'll give you an example. You know, Avatek, who's been on this podcast, yes. Avatek Gregorian, and he's my chess coach. He sent me a photo today that horrified me. There was a photo of me playing chess in this most recent tournament. I guess it might be on the tournament website. And he said, look at this. This is horrible. Like, I would love to play in it against an opponent like you. Like, you look like you have no energy. You're slouching. You look like unhappy. And by the way, I was winning that game at the point when that photo was taken. But he said, you look like you have no energy. He said, look at photos of Google photos of Garry Kasparov, by the way, who's also been on this podcast yep. several times. You'll never see him like slouching and looking all like zero energy like you. He brings fire to the board. Like, you need to be like that and focus on it. So what does that mean? It means I need to maybe exercise more or, yeah. you know, make sure I don't, you know, make sure I have proper posture and not slouch as much. Maybe I need to eat better so I show I exhibit more energy.
And you need to bring a lighter in your pocket.
What was a lighter?
A lighter? So you can lit the chessboard on fire. You need to bring fire.
Oh, yeah, right. But yeah, I need to... So this is like a mini quest. I need to... Somehow, it's very important to my chess ranking that I exhibit more energy at the board. And I guess the way to do that is I got to have better posture. I've got to breathe better. I got to eat better. I've got to sleep better. That picture was taken in the last round of a tournament. So probably I hadn't been sleeping so well. It's hard to sleep during tournaments. So I have to figure out how to sleep better. So I have all these mini quests on the way to this bigger quest. Now, do I care if after I die, people say, oh, you think you can't improve after the age of 50? Well, this guy, James, did it. I don't care about that at all, like zero. Mm. This is just something I'm interested in for right now. I might not even succeed in this quest, but this journey, you know, towards this quest is making me do all sorts of things. And, you know, some of them are difficult. Some of them are not related to happiness at all. Some of them make me miserable.
Right.
But I enjoy the process of a quest, of having some meaning. But it has nothing to do with legacy. Like, I do not care at all about my legacy.
So basically, you will want to be anything but kill themselves guy.
Yeah, like, I would not want my kids to, I would not, I mean, that's not, of course, the only reason why I wouldn't want to kill myself, but
right.
The only thing I could think of as a bad legacy, well, okay, I know I'm not going to do any crimes or anything like that, but I think the worst thing someone could do for their children is kill themselves, because then you might really affect them. Now, you might not. Maybe they'd be happy if you did it. Who knows? Well, I don't think mine would be happy, but I just don't think that's a good thing to do to people close to you. Not just my kids, but anybody close to me.
Right. Biologically, we often think about our offspring anyway. So, okay, let me put...
But also, let me just add, like, I feel like I've spent a lot of time and effort on my books. Like, let's say Choose Yourself is my most well-known book. And I feel it would... You know, from people whose lives have been helped, and I get emails every day from people whose lives have been helped by Choose Yourself, and that always makes me happy.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel that if I were to kill myself, people would say, oh, well, he wrote that. Nothing he said in Choose Yourself was worth anything.
Gotcha.
So again, I probably don't care that much about that. That's a little bit related to the legacy you're talking about. But since during my life I've spent so much time on it, I really wouldn't want to...
Right. But you were practicing what you were preaching earlier, is that you want to do what you have written. You don't want to be like any self-help guru out there, be like, oh, do cold plunge every day, but they only do cold plunge once a month.
Right. And I did that cold plunge. I did a cold shower this morning just because so many people, because again, I want to be energetic for my quest, but that is just so painful, that cold shower.
Are you energized right now? Like, do you feel energized?
No, because it's in the afternoon. I'm a little bit tired.
Gotcha.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so let's do a little bit of exercise. You say you wouldn't kill yourself because of the legacy. But what if tomorrow some sort of higher power come up and be like, James, that's two things. You have two choices. You either kill yourself right now or everyone else in the world die. Which one would you choose?
So say that again. I'm more like, so let's say Satan comes to me and says, James, if you kill yourself right now, I will not destroy the world in 5 years.
Right.
But if you don't, here's a gun. If you don't kill yourself right now, it doesn't even matter if you do it tomorrow.
Right.
If you don't do it right now, this second, guaranteed, I, Satan, will destroy the entire world and everybody on it will die in 5 years from this moment.
Right. And also, I just wanted to like put it out there. This is just a thought process. We are a thought exercise. We are not encouraging anything. We are not, wanting anyone to do anything to themselves.
Well, Satan doesn't actually exist, so he's not actually saying this to anybody.
Right.
So I would not kill myself.
Why?
And the whole world would blow up in 5 years.
Why?
Because this is going to sound selfish, but A, if I die now, I won't even know if the whole world dies in 5 years. B, for all I know, the entire world is nobody exists anyway, and I'm in some kind of virtual reality where I'm just like looking through my VR goggles at the entire world. Like, I don't really know if the world exists. I only know that I exist. There's a lot of reasons to think that it would be selfish of me. So some people could say it'd be selfish of you to not kill yourself because you're being told that
right.
The whole world will blow up in 5 years if you don't do it. But I don't even know if the world really exists. And again, I don't believe that there's any real meaning to the world. So
absurd.
I guess I would be selfish in that sense. If though you were to say, I'm either going to kill the whole world right now, if you don't kill yourself, like today I'm going to kill the world, or you have to kill yourself, then I would probably do it. Then I would probably kill myself. Because either way, I'm dying today.
Right. But what if it's like you have to kill yourself, or you're going to be immortal, but the whole world's going to be like, not explode, but the whole world, like people, the whole world population just like drop dead. But you'll be immortal. So you will get to live and see the consequences.
Okay, but here's the thing about immortality. Like, let's say the Earth is gone 10 billion years from now. The universe, by the way, even if it's, we don't know the real theories about how the universe exists, Big Bang, expansion, contraction, but let's say it's the expansion, contraction theory. The universe is going to survive for another 100 trillion years. 100 trillion years. Now, put it in context, the entire planet, Earth, is only 3 billion years old. And the universe is going to last, something like 100,000 times more than that. So am I going to be just floating in space for 100 trillion years?
Yeah. You're just floating in space?
No way. I wouldn't want to be immortal. If someone said to me, James, you could be immortal, that's a trick question. Because if I'm truly immortal, for the next few thousand years or whatever, I'm going to be with humans. And then we'll figure out some way to blow ourselves up. And then I'm just going to be by myself for 100 trillion years. And most of that 100 trillion years, 99.999% of that, I'm just going to be floating in space doing nothing. I don't want to do that.
But you will still probably have a chance to land in other planet because like there's no burning.
Probably.
Yeah.
1/1,000,000,000% of space has something in it. Like most of space is just totally empty. So I'm probably not going to land on another planet. And by the way, most space is expanding. So things are getting further away from each other. Like, why do you think I'm probably going to land on another planet? Not only that, why am I going to land on another planet with like other fun people on it? Like, I'm gonna, even if there's other life, they're just going to be like germs or whatever. So, and they, what am I going to land on Venus? Like some kind of gas planet?
I mean, what if the like planet out there is just like a mirror of Earth, but it's just more peaceful, you know?
The odds are I'm never going to land on it.
Right.
In 100 trillion years. So most of my, that 100 trillion years are just going to be boredom and pain. Also, what if I'm constantly suffocating because I need air? Like I'm still in a body. Like, so what if 100 trillion years I'm just in this state of suffocation, but I'm still alive?
Is so, that possible though? I felt like but if
you're making the rules here of immortality.
Like, here's the reason why I'm not a god.
I would say yes to immortality if I could never age from this day forward. I don't mind being this age. If I could be this age from this day forward and I could choose at any given moment, I could choose to just die without pain.
I feel like that's not immortality anymore. I feel like that's immortality with conditions.
Yes, that's what I would do.
God.
I would not choose immortality. Your scenario of immortality is like just an, like that is the worst, that's hell. That's just the worst thing ever. That is not, that's like, I only want immortality on my terms.
You know what? If I immortality, you know, I was, okay, this is totally like out of the world right now. I'm just going to say whatever it is. If I'm immortality, I would practice necromancy so I can revive people and talk to people.
It doesn't matter. The sun is going to swallow the earth in like 10 billion years.
Yeah. But I mean, I am a little bit interested to see what happened at the end of the universe, right? Like, but you can only achieve that with immortality. You know, is there actually Big Bang at the end of the world? It's the end of the world, the beginning of the other universe. You know what I mean?
We're still talking about 100 trillion years from now.
Yeah.
100 trillion years is not, I don't know how, that's more than any number you've ever thought of in your life. Like, just think, humans as a species have only been around 250,000 years, okay? So multiply that by 4, that's 1 million. Okay, multiply that by 1,000, so 4,000, that's 1 billion. Multiply that by 1,000, so that's four. You have to multiply that by 4 million, and now you get to 1 trillion. And so multiply that by another 100. I don't even know where I'm at now. But
yeah.
It's your whole life is like nothing compared to, like, most of the time you're just going to be a floating in space. Like,
yeah,
you're not even going to remember that you were alive on Earth.
I think you're right. I think there are challenges of being immortality because you do want people to question you, right? Like, you have to constantly take on new identity for like a couple thousands of years.
Yeah. So, I mean, well, okay, that's like just if you're in a science fiction movie.
Right.
Like if you're the age of Adeline, she has to switch her identity so the FBI doesn't find her.
So, okay. By the way, so the moral of the story is immortality is bad?
No, immortality with conditions is great.
Okay, immortality with condition is great. And legacy, you don't really have to care about it. Just focus on improving yourself.
Yeah, like, look, I think you could do legacy in the absurdest way, which is that if you realize that it's meaningless, you might as well do fun things and have quests and things like that, if that gives you joy in life. If you're going to be miserable unless you achieve your legacy, then I wouldn't focus on legacy at all.
So, yeah, tweet at us, tweet at James, and if you want, you can tweet at me if you care about your legacy, or would you want to be immortal?
Just forget the immortality. Like, immortal means, the definition of immortal means you're going to live for, let's say, 100,000 years. Okay, you're not immortal. You're just going to live for 100,000 years, and you could choose at any point if you want to die. For instance, Jay, what if someone says Jay's immortal, so we're going to put him in a box and we're going to bury it 50 feet underground, and there's no way he can escape the box and no one will ever find that box, and he's immortal?
That sucks.
Would you want immortality then?
No.
No, you'd want to be able to choose to die.
Yeah.
By the way, that's a situation that happened in the TV show Heroes, where a guy was immortal and the guy who could teleport teleported that guy into a grave, you know, 50 feet under the ground.
That's season one, right? When Heroes is still good?
It might have been season one. That was the only season that was good.
Yes.
When Siler wasn't like, you know, going crazy and everybody, anyway.
Yeah. But yes, tweet us if you care about your legacy or not, or if you have any legacy.
Yeah. And by the way, if you have any other insane questions like this, feel free to ask anything. Relationships, health, legacy, career advice, investing advice, tweet it out to me. We'll do a podcast about it. Everybody, have a good day. Jay, if somebody comes out and offers you immortality, make sure it's not a trick question.
So if devil try to make a deal with me, I better read all the contract and add some of my conditions.
Yes, exactly. Always negotiate your immortality and don't focus so much on legacy. I'll leave you with that.
Right. Thank you.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of summer deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save up to 60% on new arrivals from Vince, Rag & Bone, Adidas, Joe's, Marc Jacobs, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. But hurry for first dibs. Get your summer favorites up to 60% off at Nordstrom Rack today. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
Hey, Fidelity.
What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.